It amazes me how many people want to have a relationship with God, how many people think they have a relationship with God, and how many people don't really, I mean, they know of a God, but they just don't believe in a judgmental God. Somebody that would have, say, that I believe, the God saying, I believe this is right, or this is right and this is wrong. You know, it's amazing that you fit into one of those categories. And it's amazing when I look at my own life that I always had a little draw towards God. I can remember, bless you, I can remember when I was younger, and I've said this story, and this is one of the reasons people hate preachers, I guess, after a while, but they say the same stories. I remember as a child, I had the little Bibles that the Gideons would give out at the fairs and stuff like that. And I remember this, and it had a table. I had a table as a lamp, moved the lamp, and I would sit my brother down in front of him, and I would open the Bible, and I'd beat my fist against the table and holler at him. And I that's all I remember. I don't remember what I hollered. I don't remember this. And then so years went past, and I looked up my name, and it said it meant preacher. And it's, you know, all that's just kind of really weird. But I always felt like I had a draw towards God. I would sit and listen to preaching when I was out of town, when I worked for myself. And I always felt like a draw towards God. But I never really knew Him. I only just knew of Him. And so the Bible shows the same sort of idea. It's understandable for us to know that there's a God and try to do something for Him or reach out to Him, but God is the one that made us. When we bring an, let's say we get a cat, and we don't want the cat walking on our furniture that or on our counter where we eat. Well, that's wrong. The cat gets up there. We make that decision. Nobody says, well, did you ever think what the cat wants, right? No. We brought the cat in. We're the Lord of that. We're the God of that, right? And so the cat gets up on the counter, and we shoot it with the water bottle, and it takes off. And after a little while, it learns that we don't want it on the counter, and it obeys. Doesn't get mad at us. Doesn't look at us and try to ask why it can't get on the counter. It just stops. So it's understandable. If God made us, He is the one that determines right or wrong, not us. Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So in the beginning, you had Adam and Eve, and they walked with God. It was Jesus whom they walked with, because, you know, God couldn't be in the presence of sin. The body of Christ was able to come walk with sinners, eat with sinners, be among sinners. But Adam and Eve walked with God. But when something happened and they realized they did something that displeased God, we can all understand this is what happened. They tried to make amends for it. And that's what we do. If we do something wrong, a lot of us, I still believe that most people would, if they've done something wrong, they want to sort of make amends. Some people will say they're sorry. Some people will never say they're sorry. Some people will do other things to make amends, and we try to do, and this is what Adam and Eve did. They tried to make amends because they had done something wrong. But this shows me one thing, that when we are in a state of disobedience, we know it. They knew it. They knew they'd done something wrong. They're trying to hide from God. Although the longer we stay there, the more normal and comfortable it can become. So when this happened and God saw that this happened, He knew that just as we tried to fix it ourselves and hide it from God, He knew that if time went on and He didn't do something about that, that it would become norm and disobeying God wouldn't be a problem. So God confronted it right there. And so God let us know right there that we had done wrong. We knew we had done wrong, and we tried to make amends of it, and God said, no, you've wronged me. I'll be the one to decide whether if I forgive you or not. Right? And that's normal. But see, this is what God does. He is a covenant God. God can do anything He wants, and what He chooses to do is to make promises to us and see who keeps up with those promises. He wants to be involved in our affairs. He's God. He can do anything He wants. And yet He's mindful of man. Not that we determine what He does, but He does things for us. He cares for us. And even though we're mean and disobedient at times, He's willing to forgive us. And it's amazing. Why He didn't just end it with Adam and Eve right then and there, forgive them of their sins and take it away and say, this is a lost cause, I don't know. I do know why a little. His Son wasn't shown. He wanted us to see His Son. That's why His Son was the one that saw this. The devil took that away, and Jesus came and took it back. Right? Genesis 3:11, He says, I will put enmity, which is hatred, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Okay, so we knew that we had done wrong, and then here come the judgments. God asked the man, He asked the woman, He passed judgment on the man. The man's curse is not the same as the woman's curse. He passed judgment on the serpent upon Satan, and he dealt with the situation. But because sin had entered the picture, because this had happened here, He made a covenant in Genesis 3:11. He said, I'm going to fix this. Okay? I'm going to fix this. So in order to be a part of this covenant, we had to make a sacrifice. And if you go all the way back, like we're doing, in order for us to be a part of this, we had to do something to be a part of it. They knew it. They tried to fix it themselves. It didn't work. God told them, here's how you're going to fix it. And if we want it to be in the good graces of God, we had to do it His way. And He showed us how to fix it. And how we know that there was a specific way, not just a sacrifice that we would do, is if you look at Cain and Abel. Okay? Do we see anywhere in the garden that this sacrifice that was made when He said this, that this was something that was expected? No, they saw God do it. Adam and Eve did it. They taught their children, and their children did it. But then along came Cain with Abel. Abel did it the right way. Cain did it the wrong way. God said, that's not the right way. That's not what I want. I want it this way. If you want to be a part of this covenant, you will do the sacrifice as I commanded. Okay? God didn't let us make up our own minds of what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do. It was a blood sacrifice that He demanded, and it was a blood sacrifice that had to be given. And if we wanted to be a part of this covenant, we had to do it God's way, because we see plainly that when Cain tried to do it his own way, just like his parents when they tried to do it their own way, God didn't accept it. So if we want to be a part of this, God, if we want to be a part of the things that the covenant and the promises that we say, God said He'll never leave me or forsake me, right? We want to be a part of all these, I'll set angels over you so you wouldn't strike your foot against a stone. We want to be a part of all these promises. We have to do it God's way. He made a covenant and it was a blood sacrifice. We see in Genesis 9:11, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God came to Noah and He said, build a boat. Get on the boat and I will save you. That's what He did. But you know, there's something interesting that we see here. How was Noah considered faithful and perfect in his days? If you read, it says Noah was perfect in all his ways before the Lord. How was he considered perfect in his ways? He kept that blood covenant. He kept that blood sacrifice. Now, nowhere do we see where Adam and Eve told their sons. Nowhere do we see where Noah was told to do this. We don't see this commandment passed down. But what we see first is the example given by God, and this is what men follow. And men that followed this, households that followed this, they were considered faithful before God. So we see that Noah, even though God came to him and made a covenant with him, build a boat, guess what he still had to do? He still had to keep that blood sacrifice. He still had to make a sacrifice. So we have the blood sacrifice that we see from the beginning. Now we have a boat put in there. If Noah hadn't built the boat, he could have sacrificed all he wanted. And guess what would have happened? He'd have perished in the flood. Had to do it God's way. Had to do it God's way. Genesis 17, 4 through 5. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. So we move to Noah and we come to Abraham. If Abraham said, you know, what you're asking me to do, and you know what he asked him to do was circumcision, right? And I don't know about you, but as a grown man, if somebody wanted to do that to me, I would have some issues with that, right? I'm like, what are you going to do? Tell me again. I don't think I heard you. But Abraham did it. Abraham didn't say, well, you know, can't we just build another boat? Wasn't going to happen. You see, the boat slipped away. There was no boat here, but there was still a blood sacrifice. Abraham kept the blood sacrifice, but he also had to make a sacrifice, and that was circumcision. So we see circumcision entered into the picture, and I promise this will make sense. We see circumcision entered into the picture, but there was still a blood sacrifice. Abraham still had to sacrifice that blood sacrifice. The boat wasn't relevant anymore, but now circumcision was. We go to Exodus 19:5, and we see someone else. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special treasure to me above all my people, for all the earth is mine. This is when he came to Moses, and he made a covenant with him, and he gave him the law. And do you know what he still had to do under that law? You still had to do the blood sacrifice. And guess what he had to do? He still had to do the circumcision. Moses kept the blood sacrifice that we see from the very beginning, and he also had to make a sacrifice. He had to make the same sacrifice that Abraham did, and he also was given the law of God, and so he had to follow the law of God. But he still had to make that blood sacrifice. That never changed. It was added to, it was taken away from, meaning that once we had a boat that was necessary, now we don't have the boat. Once we had tablets of stone that was written that was to be followed, we don't have that now. Now, God says in His law that adultery is wrong, but because we're under Christ, it doesn't mean adultery is right. God did not throw away everything that He said. What He threw away was our sacrifice that honored the law. We don't make a sacrifice with the lamb. Our sacrifice is Christ. But what I'm trying to show here is God is a covenant God. If Cain and Abel wanted to be a part of the covenant that was made in the garden, they had to have that blood sacrifice. And when they tried to do it any other way, they were dismissed. And even as time went on, God came to man multiple times and made a covenant with them. But there was always still that blood sacrifice that goes back to the garden that was the promise that He made. The promise. 2 Samuel 7:12 through 16. Pretty good on time. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men, with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul. Remember, Saul had the kingdom before David. Saul was of the house of Benjamin. And Samuel told Saul, he said, if you had been faithful, the kingdom would not have been ripped from your hands. But because we know that Judah was the one prophesied for this to come through, God knew that Saul would not be faithful. But he gave Saul the chance. Saul messed it up, and the kingdom was ripped. But from David, he made a promise. He made a covenant with him. He said, my mercy will not depart from your house. From your seed will come a kingdom. From your seed will come a kingdom, a king that will reign forever. He goes on to say, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Okay, so here we see David. Did David keep the blood sacrifice? Mm-hmm. Did David build a boat? No. Did David keep the law? Yes. But now David was reminded, something wasn't added to this. Once the law hit, God did something different. He didn't add to the covenants because he did that before. Remember, we had blood, we had boat, we had circumcision, we had law. Now, in the midst of David, he didn't add anything. What he did was remind him of the promise that was made in the garden, and he said, in your seed, I will fulfill that promise. Okay? The promise in the garden, and the reason I keep going back to that is because that's where all the promises were built would be fulfilled through his seed. All the promises that we see, the boat, the circumcision, the blood sacrifice, keeping the law, all of these were built on the promise that God made in the garden. If you go to Hebrews 8, 7 through 9, this is found, I think it's found Jeremiah or Ezekiel? I think it's Jeremiah where he says I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel. And so in Hebrews, and the reason I did it in Hebrews is because it shows that the promise that was given back in the garden was fulfilled in the church, not in Israel. Okay? For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Did he do that? Yes. Jesus came to the Jews, he preached to Judah, and he went and he preached to Israel, which was the Samaritan nation. It was the 10 tribes that were out there. And all those people that listened and obeyed his voice, they came into the new covenant. Because he tells us that once he's done this, once he's made this new covenant, verse 9, he's not going to make a covenant according to what he did with the fathers. And what kind of covenant did he make with them? He made a covenant that would be added onto. He made a covenant that would be promising something to happen. This covenant that was coming, it wasn't promising in everything. It was a fulfillment of the promise. And he said there will be no other covenants after this one. There'll be nothing else because he says there was a first covenant, he found fault. Was that the first covenant that God made with us? No, that wasn't. We see that he made a covenant with us in the garden. He made a covenant with Noah. This wasn't. But he sees the promise of a Savior and he sees the fulfillment of the Savior. God is a covenant God. Is what I'm trying to say. God is always shown us that if we want a way to find Him, He shows us. In the days of Noah, it was a little bit different than in the days of Moses. Moses didn't build a boat. Noah did. Noah wanted to find God. He had to get on that boat. But all of them kept the blood sacrifice. Then we come to Christ. It's Jeremiah, I thought it was Jeremiah. But sometimes Jeremiah and Ezekiel, I get confused. But he says, not according to the days, the covenant that I made in verse 9 with the fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. And when he did that, he brought Moses into the wilderness, and that's where he made the law covenant for the nation of Israel. Because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says the Lord. See, that's something that we need to understand, is that God is a covenant God. Guess what happened? He disregarded the first covenant. He said, because they did not obey it, I had to put a second one in place. And he said, I disregarded the first. And he says, now my focus is on that new covenant. My focus is on the fulfillment of the promise, which is Christ. So can we make our own deal with God? There's a lot of people that believe that their knowledge of God, their basic understanding of a God and a name put to that God with Jesus, that we made, God, if you will do this for me, I will do this for you, and you and I will meet up together in heaven. And we sing songs like that. This world is not my home. You know, and I fixed it up with Jesus a long time ago, right? We can't make our own deal with God. Cain proved that. Do you think his parents ever told him? How did Cain and Abel know to do the blood sacrifice? Because their parents told them. So why didn't Cain listen? Because he was disobedient. And because of his disobedience, Hebrew also says that those that were delivered from Egypt, they did not enter into the rest because they fell dead in the desert because of their disobedience. Right? Disobedience to what? It was disobedience to the covenant that they were under. We can't build a boat today. We can't build an ark. Now, he used to honor that, didn't he? See, now you can kind of understand when you read when he said he used to prophesy through men. He used to send apostles that could write scripture, that walked with Jesus. He used to do all of these things, but he no longer does them. He says those were childish things compared to his son. And it would be just as childish for us to think, well, you know, God used to prophesy. God used to speak in tongues. I think I'm going to hold on to that. Said, you know, that's a pretty good idea. I think I'm going to hold on to the ark. I'm going to build me a boat in my backyard. So when things get rough and we think Christ is coming back, you come on over and sit in my boat and I'll listen to you speak tongues. See, that's childish. As a child, we do stuff like that. Take a box, make it into a spaceship, all these kind of things, imagination. And we say, well, no, wait a minute. Now, God used to do this. God spoke in tongues. God, well, he also used to save through a boat. But that's not the covenant that we're under. God made a covenant back in the garden with a blood sacrifice when he says, I will fix this. And all the other covenants were added to, but there was only one that was fulfilled. The law, the ark didn't fulfill the promise made in the garden, did it? Circumcision didn't fulfill the promise made in the garden, did it? Nope. The law, people following the law, the nation of Israel, did that fulfill the law in the garden? No, because the law wasn't the promise. Just like with Moses, can we go up on a mountain and hear God give us new instructions and talk with Him? Do you know that Joseph Smith, I think that's his name, he started a movement and he said that the Word of God had become so corrupted that God sent His people and they fled the land of Israel, Middle East and all that kind of stuff, and they went to the New World. And so he just looked around and he saw all these different denominations and all this stuff. So he said, they've lost their mind. So him, believing he was sane, put on these special glasses and goes out and sees tablets that two angels appeared to him and said, go dig here and you'll see it. All right? God doesn't speak to us that way anymore. It tells us in Hebrews that he used to do that, but he only speaks now through his son. Scripture, this guy, the scripture was written and then this guy was doing this. The scripture said, even if an angel comes to you and brings you a different message, do not believe them. You will become accursed. Let them be accursed. But yet he did it. Because he wasn't following the covenant. He wasn't listening to God. He was doing like Cain. He was trying to do it his own way. We just can't go and get new instructions from God. He doesn't do that anymore because Jude said that once and for all, Jude has no chapters, it's only one. Jude said, once and for all, the message has been delivered to the saints. Once and for all, it's done. What God wants you to do, this is the finalization of it. Can we build a temple again and offer up animal sacrifices once the Son of God has shed His blood? How can you do that? God, Jesus looked at that temple, and you know what Jesus did? He tore that temple down, and He said, the most important temple I'm going to rebuild is you. You know why? Because in the garden, He didn't make the promise to a temple. He didn't make a promise to tablets of stone. He didn't make a promise to one nation. He made it to the whole world, which was Adam and Eve. He said, from you will come everybody, and I promise you, tell everybody, I'm going to fix it. Okay? So a temple didn't fix it because Jesus tore that down. Animal sacrifices didn't fix it. Because the Son of God had to shed His blood. So when we look for the promise that God said back in the garden, right? We've seen all these things added to it, but back in the garden He said, I will fix this, and it will be with a blood sacrifice. And I can understand the Jews, once the nation was established, that it would only make sense. We're on this earth. I mean, this is really all we know to some degree, that the nation would go forth and be a conquering nation. But you know what the Jews did to Israel, to the nation of God? They destroyed it. They polluted it. They they poisoned the word. They used the word to their own benefit. They wouldn't listen to the prophets, and when the prophets got too loud, they killed them. So they didn't fulfill the promise, because even the bloods of the prophets that was shed, that were the righteous before God, like Abraham and Noah, their blood didn't fix it. There's only one place where you can find we receive the promise promised by God. Only one place. And if you put and if you look up that word, and you I think I'm right about this. I use the New King James Version, okay? So when I've got the app on my phone and I put in the promise, it starts in Acts. Did you know that? It doesn't reference the promise. It doesn't reference that in the Old Testament. It references it into the New Testament. And as you read through, it's like 36 verses. And as you read through them, there's one or two, very few, I think one or two, that says, like when Paul, when he made the vow, he said, we were waiting on you to fulfill the promise you made to us. Okay, that's one of the few times. But the majority of the times, like 30 different times, when it mentions the promise, it's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the church. But there's only one place, only one, where we can read where God says, this is how you receive the promise that was made in the garden. We all know where that's at. He's a covenant God. He is a covenant God. The people who do not keep the law, the people who do not keep circumcision, he told Abraham that if you do not keep circumcision, he says that they will be alienated, that they will be not part of Israel. And Abraham, am I thinking this right? Abraham had a son. And he hadn't been circumcised, because God told him to circumcise everybody in his house. And God said that if you don't, he said they will die. They will be cut off from their people. And he was on the road to kill that son, because he said you had not circumcised him. And God and Abraham circumcised him. And the wife got mad and said, you're a man of blood to me. God doesn't play around. So, in order to be a Jew, and you wonder, why didn't God give the law to Abraham? Because it was Father Abraham. Why didn't God give the law to Abraham? How did he give it to Moses? Well, he knew that they were going to go through Egypt. He knew that they were going to go through slavery. He knew that they were going to be oppressed as a nation, then be delivered by God. And this was God's plan. He knew that you could show that they had been delivered. The reason he didn't give the law to them and the animal sacrifices, he gave them circumcision. And you know what kept them alive through the Egyptian captivity? That circumcision. When they looked at Moses, they said that he was a Hebrew child. How did they know he was a Hebrew child? Because he was circumcised. You see, that promise didn't fulfill. There's only one place that we can see where God says, you can receive the promise. Israel was the last dispensation of time before the church. Israel was given the law of God. They were told that they were given direction by angels, but they did not keep it. God disregarded that covenant. He prophesied in Jeremiah that I will give you a new covenant. He brought in that new covenant. And on the day of Pentecost, they preached that gospel message. And he told, let all the house of Israel assuredly know that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said, if we've killed the one that's come to save us, if we have all of the promises that were made, it was going to be fulfilled in this man, and we've killed him, what could we possibly do? And the very first word out of his mouth is repent. Repent. And he says, repent and be baptized. See, that is our act of repentance before God. Why? Because that's the covenant. The water is where we come in contact with the blood. The Bible says in Romans that we were buried with him in Christ, buried with Christ in baptism and raised in the newness of life. That's where we come in contact with the blood. That's where we come in contact with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive what? The promise. The promise. Look it up. Do a little research. Put in the promise. Find out where there's another place that God says, here is how you receive the promise. He made a promise and a covenant to Noah, but Noah didn't receive the promise, right? Because he did that, he was a saved man, but it was based on a promise that Christ fulfilled. There is nothing added to this covenant. When we read the Revelation, it says nothing new can be added to this. That wasn't the case in the days of Noah, wasn't the case in the days of Abraham. It was all building up to one thing, the promise being fulfilled that was made back in the garden. And he says, you will receive the promise, which was the indwelling Holy Spirit. Right? And the Bible says that this was a promise. Who did he make it to? He said, to you, to as many were far off. He said, to you, your children, and as many as were far off. You see, that promise in the garden went through Noah, it went through Abraham, it went through Moses, and it came to them. But the way that that promise, the promise that he made to all those people was fulfilled, was found right there in the shedding of the blood of Christ. God is a covenant God. We can sit here, we can learn about Jesus, we can hear about Jesus, we can think about Jesus, but if we don't do it His way, repent and be baptized, we're never going to receive the promise that He made. It's not found in the law, it's not found in a boat, it's not found in circumcision, it's found in the blood of Christ. That's the only way that we're going to receive that promise. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?